Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part three of a five-part worship series entitled What to Do, with today's message specifically entitled What to Do When You Don't Want to Go, based off of Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So let us dive into the Word today.
Now let us hear the scripture reading from Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God for this word.
Now, sometimes we know the right answer to our questions, but we struggle with where that answer will take us. The struggle is not whether we should go, but whether we will go where God is leading us. Still, God's way is the only way in which we will find peace and fulfillment. Now, the first part of the account of Jonah is not too different from the accounts of other people of faith. The truth is, following God is scary. It's a scary venture when one stops and thinks about it. Most of us would find being Abraham, getting up, leaving everything behind to follow God on a whim, to be extremely difficult. In fact, when I read that story, I wonder, did Abraham really literally just get up and go? Or was this something he wrestled with over and over and over again until he finally took that leap of faith? What's more, if we know our Bibles, and we know the things that God calls his people to do, we know that there is much risk involved.
Stay with us tonight
in the call,
since it is getting late.
Much uncertainty. What if God calls me into harm's way? What if I get sick as I walk into that hospital room and then spread that sickness to my family?
Didn't our hearts
What if my being a missionary leads me to a war-ridden place where I could be killed? What if my choice to follow God costs me socially, and I lose family and friends who resent my choice? Jonah was not the only person to run in the opposite direction of God's call. Moses fled from Egypt into Midian, where he chose to hide out as a shepherd. God found him, of course, but even then Moses was reluctant due to his fear of returning to Egypt. Samson, he chose his passions rather than to follow God in protecting the people of Israel. Saul of Tarsus was doing the complete opposite of God's call when he chose to persecute Christians, only to be encountered by Jesus on the road to Damascus. St. Augustine knew he was called to more than licentious living, and he even prayed that God would change him, just not yet. Martin Luther was on his way to being a great lawyer before a fierce lightning storm corrected his course in life. John Wesley was going to be a great Anglican missionary in the New World before God showed him that his call was to revive the church in England. In my own life, I had left the church for good and was going to practice Wicca, and did practice Wicca, an earth-based religion. It took me to hit rock bottom in an empty spirituality.
And I had spent several years running from a call I knew I had since I was a very young child. But eventually I reached a point where I had nowhere left to turn but God. I may have left God, but God never left me. We have all had things in our lives that we procrastinated on, and we often know exactly why we were procrastinating. A lot of times, that reason is fear. Fear of failure, shame, and or not being good enough. Oftentimes, fear is what keeps us from the life God is calling us to have. In fact, one of my favorite albums and songs from Zayo, which is a hardcore Christian hardcore band, Zayo, is "The Fear is What Keeps Us Here." Amen? The fear is what keeps us here. Oftentimes, the fear is what keeps us from the life that God is calling us to have. Now, in our scripture today, God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria. And there was a deep bitterness in the Jewish community towards Assyrians. And it wasn't unfounded because the Assyrians had attacked the Jews over and over and over again. Even conquered them at one point and exiled them. So Jonah didn't necessarily like the idea of the people of Nineveh being rescued and saved. That was the last thing on Jonah's mind. He thought they deserved judgment and wrath and death. What's more, the Assyrians didn't like the Jewish people either. In fact, as I said, they were hostile toward them and even tried to conquer them. So then, would the Ninevites even listen to Jonah? Or would they kill him if he showed up and called them to repentance? Instead of following, Jonah fled to Tarshish when God called him to deliver a message of repentance to the Ninevites. It was only when Jonah feared for his life in the belly of a big fish that he returned to God in prayer, asking to be rescued. Perhaps out of gratitude for saving his life, or fear of another bout with the fish, Jonah obeyed the second time God told him to go to Nineveh. Jonah was a prophet, but he never really got it. And through Jonah, the Ninevites were saved from destruction, which was in part what Jonah had feared to begin with. Thus, Jonah was upset with God for calling him to have a hand in rescuing his enemies. Jonah was a prophet, but he never really got it. Now, this scriptural account reflects a deep human tendency to struggle with how wide, how expansive, how wide God's grace is. It also reflects how often God is calling us somewhere or to do something we simply do not want to do, for whatever reason. But, as Jonah's story shows, there's little use in running away from God. There's little use in running away from God. Yet even as Jonah ran, God provided safety and shelter along the way. In the end, God showed Jonah that just as God loved and protected him, God loved the Ninevites, and God loves all creation. And God wishes that all creation would turn back to him and be saved. What scares you the most about having a call on your life? I'm going to pause a second. I want you to think about that. What scares you the most about having a call, God's call, on your life? You. We. All of us have a call on our lives. Whatever the situation is in your life, when you run away, you still find yourself in the realm of God. We can't escape God no matter how hard we try. And why do we try to escape God? What do we think is going to happen if we seek to separate ourselves from God? We can't escape God no matter how hard we try. It's like running on a treadmill, working hard, and yet still getting nowhere. How many of you have ran miles on the treadmill, and yet you're standing in the same place you were? That's what it's like to escape God. We just can't do it. God is everywhere, and is hiding, and hiding from God never, ever really works. God has a way of getting to you, God has a way of getting you to where God wants you to be. And God has a way of getting to you when you think you've lost God. But we haven't lost God. Because God will not lose us. So let's get off the treadmill and back onto the ground, onto the path of life. Helping people to experience God's grace and love. We need to have the courage to walk into the struggles of our community, not hide away from them. Too often the church operates as a sort of social club where we gather and congregate in a building, and we call that building the church, and people who come to it will bless their hearts. But people who don't, they should. And that's the attitude we have in the church. The people who don't come are outsiders, and if only they would come to us and become one of us, that would be great. But that's not the model that God uses throughout the Bible. Rather, God takes the ones who call themselves a part of God's kingdom, a part of God's people, and he sends them to the outsiders, to the people who need God's love and God's grace, but yet do not know it. So how can we encourage each other to walk into that? How can we help someone finally say yes? Say the yes that God is so graciously waiting for. And finally, what yes is God waiting from you today? What yes is God waiting for from you today? Who are you connecting with to help you get to that yes? Let us be challenged to listen in for God's call in our lives. Perhaps God is calling you to be on our hospitality and outreach team. Or if you're watching from and you're part of some other church or congregation, perhaps God is calling you to be on your church's outreach and hospitality team. I know in our church we could use people to call and check in on our members. Is God calling you to do that? If you're a part of our congregation and you want to do that, click on the link in the live chat or in the video notes to sign up. Or go to your church or contact your pastor and find out the ways that you can do that. Perhaps God is calling you to become a lay servant or a volunteer at your local church's thrift shop, or if you're a part of our church, at the Treasures of Hope, when that reopens. Contact Linda, and she'd be glad to hook you up with that opportunity. Whatever the case may be, I challenge you to discern God's call, and to reconnect with either my, Whatever the case may be, I challenge you to discern God's call and to connect with either myself or Kathleen or your pastor if you're in a different church or others to help you answer yes to that call. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you and praise you for all that it is that you are doing in our lives. Lord, what should we do when we don't want to go where you are sending us? We should simply submit to you and go, because what's the use in running? Let us learn from Jonah that no matter where we run to, no matter how far we go, you are with us, and we cannot run or hide from you. And what you are calling us to will ultimately lead us to peace and to fulfillment. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
And so I would like to thank you for tuning in and listening to this message. Again, this is part three of a five-part worship series entitled What to Do, with today's specific message entitled What to Do When You Don't Want to Go. I'm always glad that you are that you're tuning in and listening to these, and I certainly hope you're getting something out of them. It's been a blast recording them. I share these messages with my congregation at church, and of course it's great to be able to share them with you as well. So I'm glad that you are listening in and hopefully getting something from it. With that said, you'll notice that the sound quality is different. That's because I'm using what I'm recording for my online worship during this pandemic. It saves me some time as I've got a lot of editing to do on top of everything else. So when we get back to in-person worship, I will obviously get back to recording with the mics that I normally do and in the ways that I normally do. But in the meantime, I thank you for understanding, for hanging in there. And I want to remind you, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.